Good morning, ladies, and welcome to Netia's second quarter 2014 results conference call. Hosting today's call will be Mr. Adam Selipsky, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. John Eastick, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Selipsky, you may now begin.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, and welcome. I have a pleasure to present Netia's quarterly and half-year results for the first time, as I'm just about to complete my three months at the company at the moment. It's been a very busy time for me. I've been traveling around, but also we managed to initiate a number of initiatives around the company, which we're gonna talk about later on in the presentation. We have also, together with senior management, started to go through and refresh our group strategy, putting some emphasis on the priorities and trying to identify both areas which require higher efficiency effectiveness, but also the areas that we identify as crucial for the company's future growth. So jumping into the Netia's highlights for the first half a year of 2014. So let's start a bit with the past before we move on into the future. So let's move on into the presentation. Netia's group highlights. As you can see, the revenue, I guess, was very much in line with the expectation, which was for the first half a year in the amount of 857 million, which is 11% down year-on-year. And for the second quarter, consequently, it was -3% quarter-on-quarter and 12% year-on-year. As you probably see, as we see, the 30% of the annual and around 11% of the quarter-on-quarter drop is attributable to the MTR reductions. As you see, they've been going down from 16, subsequently to 8, and subsequently to 4. We see, which is probably quite normal for our business and for our structure of the revenues, that the profitability shows the resilience to the revenue decline. So the adjusted EBITDA amounted to 260 million for the first half year, which is 8% down year-on-year, and 125 million for quarter two, which is minus drop of 7% quarter-to-quarter and drop of 11% year-on-year. If we look at the other key elements, the generated EBITDA, generated adjusted free cash flow was down with 18% year-on-year, and for quarter two is quarter-on-quarter minus 12% and -21%. The net debt increased, and it's mainly for the... You have to look at the dividend, which was paid down, and here you've got the net debt increasing 40% to 366 million, which gives us a leverage of 0.72 of the adjusted EBITDA guidance for 2014 full year of 505. The number of the RGUs amounted to 2,424,000, and which is minus 2%, slight decline quarter-to-quarter, and minus 7% year-on-year. We were also working on the changes and of the organizational structure. We narrowed down or flattened the organization, and we're gonna talk about it later on in the presentation. As I mentioned earlier, we have initiated the strategic update together with the entire management group and the supervisory board, and we are aiming to complete that work by October this year. For 2014 guidance, there is a slight revision on the revenue side, slight downwards to 1,675 million. The adjusted EBITDA remains unchanged. The CapEx, there's a slight revision upwards as we see some potential growth opportunities, which also subsequently means that the cash, operational cash flow is slightly downward to 290 million. Moving on to the next page and looking at the segments of our business segments on the B2B side. Here are the numbers. I guess very much in our expectation. We see that the revenue is slightly down, which is mostly driven by the voice ARPU, which is still under pressure, as expected. However, at the same time, the RGUs are up 2% quarter to quarter and 6% over year over year. There are a number of initiatives in this area, including new head joining the company by October 1st. On the B2C side, the result, the revenue was an amount of 243 million, which is 4% down compared to the first quarter and 12% down year on year. However, we see the substantial growth in our strategic new area, which is TV, where we see the growth of 27% year on year and 1% quarter to quarter. So we are still on track of the growth. If we move further to the next page, which is the RGU growth of our network, we see very clearly that we increase the RGUs which are on net, while there is a continued decrease on the RGUs of the services that we sell outside our network, which is very much in line with the decisions that were taken some time ago, and we are very confident that this is the way we should continue developing the company. As you see, the drop in the total RGUs, as I mentioned earlier, comes from the strategic defocus on the low margins WLR and BSA services. And again, there is a very positive addition in our TV services, which we see that the very good sales of the smooth streaming-based TV, and we still treat this area as a strategically important for us going forward. If we look at the B2B segment, here you see that there is an RGU increase on our on-net voice services again. There is a moderate on-net RGU drop in B2C, but it is mostly driven by the voice products. There is, though, increase on B2C on-net broadband TV services, as mentioned earlier. And finally, let's look at the page which is called Netia Lite. As I was mentioning, we've been pretty busy. I've been pretty busy not only traveling around our regional offices and learning the organization, meeting people, but also we managed to start some number of initiatives. And I guess Netia Lite is not only about increasing the efficiency, but it's also about introducing the company a new way of working, which is much more lean, mean, faster reaction time. We identified together with the management three main pillars of that, which are kind of core values going forward for us, which is simplification. And it means that we are trying to simplify the organization, taking out the unnecessary layers, flattening the organization. The network structure, as you are very well aware of, we've been very successful in the M&A area, which means also that we have number of technologies in our network structure, and we like to simplify it and make it more smooth and more efficient, not only for us internally, but the way the customers experience buying products from us. The next one is focus, which are where we want to identify the areas which are crucial for our future growth, and this is part of the work on a strategy that we just initiated. And the innovation, and here we want to continue being innovative in the way we serve our customers, both on the mass market, but also the business customers. So apart from that, there were some cost optimization activities which derived from these three main pillars. However, they don't have any negative impact on our basic operations, and they are expected to generate savings approximately in amount of 50 million Polish zloty per year going forward from 2015. The areas which we identify for the savings are, as I mentioned, unprofitable products and sales channels. Again, going back to innovation, we looked into some discretionary spendings, but also, which was very important for us, the organizational design, as well as the corporate governance, how we are structured. So in the pure management board, there are two people remaining, CEO, CFO. However, the company is basically run by the very operational executive management team, which comprises of 10 people, which operationally control and lead the key areas of our operations. That's all about our new initiatives. So I will now hand over to Jonathan Istek, our CFO. Jonathan.
Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for joining us on Netia's half-year 2014 conference call. I'm going to start my comments for this presentation, starting from the B2B overview, which begins basically on slide 10 of the presentation. Hopefully you've all found the presentation on our website. It's there under the presentations tab on the investor page. So starting with B2B performance, the revenue came in at 172 million zloty for Q2, which was slightly down on Q1, where we reported 174 million zloty. The trend is certainly flattening out, but it's our clear aspiration that the business will, the B2B business should be growing quarter to quarter. So we're not quite yet back to where we'd like to be with sequential growth in this area. As Adam mentioned already, the RGUs are growing quite strongly. We're up to 492,000 RGUs on the B2B segment as of 30th of June. Unfortunately, most of the growth is coming on the voice side, and we're looking to accelerate going forward on data services in particular. The biggest issue in the B2B area continues to be the ARPU for services, and particularly voice services. Netia has rather more voice revenue in the revenue mix of our B2B business than we'd like to have in the long run, which makes it hard for us to keep up with the market, which is actually growing year to year because of growth on data services. So the strategy that Adam mentioned in his opening remarks is very much focused on how we realign the go-to-market strategy for B2B to get more exposure to the faster-growing parts of the market. There's also a lot of cost restructuring going on. A new CEO, or MD rather, for the division will be coming in during the beginning of the fourth quarter. Lots happening to turn around that business unit. If we look at slide 11, you can see the development of the reported EBITDA for the B2B segment, comparing the half year 2013 of 194 million of EBITDA with 165 of EBITDA for 2014 first half year. What you can see in this EBITDA bridge immediately is that on the voice side, we're gaining RGU. We're gaining EBITDA from RGU growth. But the ARPU pressure that we're feeling, particularly on voice services, took down the EBITDA contribution by 28 million zloty. The MTR effects are starting to gradually disappear from the results. The last cut from 8 groshi to 4 groshi took place at the very beginning of Q3 a year ago. So these results reflect a difference of 8 groshi to 4 groshi effectively, especially on interconnection and transit revenues in the wholesale business, which forms part of B2B. However, the voice ARPU drops that we're seeing are also partly reflective of these MTR cuts, because customers know very well that our costs have gone down when they want to call a mobile phone, and they're pushing very hard for lower tariffs in their contracts. And that's one of the reasons why the ARPU is dropping at the rate that it is. And we should see that trend start to lessen over the following couple of quarters. On the cost side, we have lower cost of interconnection, mainly related to MTRs. We have higher cost of variable expenses. This is partly the RGU growth, but mainly this is about allocation of the large base of fixed costs that any telecommunication operator has. Because the B2C business is shrinking, some cost is migrating in the allocations into the B2B business, and that's the major reason why we have the $6 million negative change in cost on variable expenses. So if that wasn't there, you would see that the speed of EBITDA margin decline would actually be quite a lot slower than in the reported numbers. Moving over to look at B2C, which is on slide 13. This Q2 was disappointing for us. There's no doubt about that. We were hoping when we talked to you last time that we would see an acceleration in the RGU performance quarter to quarter. In fact, things got a little bit worse than we saw in Q1. The RGU decline increased from 55,000 in Q1 to 62,000 in Q2. We lost slightly the number of RGUs on our own network, which is the first time we've had a decline for several quarters. The losses were all related to voice-only customers, but nonetheless, the change in trend is not welcome. Overall, our RGU base is down 9% year-on-year, and that explains far and away the revenue decline that we're seeing on the B2C market. Because most of these declines are actually still concentrated in the off-net area, however, the EBITDA margin is very robust, as we'll see on the next slide. We move on to slide four. Sorry, on the next but one slide. Moving on to slide 14, you see the RGU base by type of technology and by type of service. We're now up to 40% of our RGUs being on network, and we look to continue to increase that trend. We also have 35% of our on-net broadband base buying TV, which is a very satisfying level of cross-sell. As we've mentioned on previous calls, the key to keep driving this number upwards, because TV is obviously very important for stabilizing the customer base, is really to start picking up meaningful numbers of new customers behind the TV service. We have some information about our cable TV offering to present to you in a few moments. Moving on to slide 15, you can see the EBITDA performance on the B2C business is actually looking very good. Our EBITDA, despite the revenue declines year on year, is actually up. We're at 150 million of EBITDA for the first half, compared to 146 million a year earlier. The 9% RGU drop is obviously having a big negative impact. You see the minus 44 million contribution from RGUs in the EBITDA bridge. Relative to the B2B business, the 20 million negative coming from ARPU declines, given that we're working with a much bigger revenue base, is actually much less significant than the pressure we're seeing on the B2B side, which is very positive for the business. And you can see, as I mentioned earlier, because most of the RGUs we're losing are lower margin RGUs, off-net RGUs, where we have to pay large monthly fees to TPSA to service those customers, you can see a positive contribution of 33 million coming from lower costs of delivering services. On the operational cost side, it's all good news. Lower advertising spending by 9 million. Our new MD of the B2C area, Thomas Schopper, is focusing very much on a local approach to selling on our own network and is cutting back on national advertising. So our advertising spend is down significantly. He's also managed to do a lot of restructuring of the organization, which has taken out a lot of other fixed costs. We're down 10 million year-on-year on other fixed cost items. And the variable cost improvement of 13 million, that partly reflects the lower RGU figures that we're reporting. It also is the flip side of the comment I made about B2B, that some of the allocation of the network cost is shifting from B2C to B2B. So overall, very robust EBITDA, about 30% EBITDA margin on that segment for the quarter. Moving on to slide 16, a quick update on the upgrade of our network. As we've mentioned previously, this year isn't really about investing in NGA upgrade of the traditional network. Most of the work has been done already. Nonetheless, we did add another 17,000 homes passed during the quarter, and we now have 1.3 million NGA homes passed at the end of June. And together with other TV-ready homes passed on ADSL2, we have 1.7 million homes passed available. More importantly, the former Asda City cable network has started coming on stream during the third quarter. We finished the trial, and we're now we just started the commercial launch about 10 days ago, and Adam will comment more on that in a second. Right now, of the 400,000 homes passed that we're targeting to have up and running on in Krakow and Warsaw on that Asda cable network, right now 215,000 are already up and running commercially. I'm going to briefly hand back to Adam to take you through a couple of exciting new commercial initiatives that we have up and running, which are partly underpinning our optimism about the second half of the year.
Yeah, thank you, John. As John was mentioning, Tomasz Schopauer, head of B2C unit, has been very busy, not only implementing some of the operational improvements, but also launching some new initiatives. On end of July, by end of July, we introduced a new brand, new sub-brand Drops, which is a totally new way of offering internet access over regulated technology, LLU and BSA, where we basically use the infrastructure and offer the customers no charge for the line maintenance, no penalty, no loyalty period, and the price means around 30% of the reduction comparing to what the incumbent is offering currently, with a bandwidth level of around up to 20 megabit per second. The costs that we see here are being offset by activation fee. There is no free modem, and we are using only the cheapest sales channels. This is one of the areas where we're trying to showing that we can do things differently, and we've been having a very promising response to that initiative because it is something totally new on the market. Another one, which John was mentioning, is that after 2 months of technical and commercial trials, we fully commercially launched on August 18th the sales of our services, three-play services on former Astor Cable TV, where we are offering one of the fastest internet services in the country with a maximum bandwidth of 300 megabits per second. We are offering internet and TV packages starting from 39.90 Polish zloty. There is a very modern Wi-Fi router added without any extra charge. And in our TV packages, we are offering almost 180 digital channels, including 60 HD channels. We also launch kind of, it's not a sub-brand, but we are selling it under the name of Giga Kablówka, just to position ourselves differently to the ones that are on the market. As you know, this service is being offered in Krakow and Warsaw, where we are passing around 400,000 cable TV homes. And the first week of the sales has accelerated our expectations, so it's been going very well. And again, this is one of the absolute focus areas which keeps our B2C people very busy, and we expect to see the results of these initiatives in the numbers going forward. So that's handing back over back to you, John.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. So now we're moving on into the group financial overview, slide 20, and the key financial figures for the half year and for the second quarter. For the half year, Netia noted a total revenue of 856.5 million zloty. As mentioned earlier, it's 11.5% down on the prior year first half. Whereas our EBITDA came in at 259.5 million zloty, which is an excellent EBITDA margin of 30.3%, and the decline in adjusted EBITDA is 8% year on year, which is much obviously showing the resilience of the business, a much slower decline than we're seeing in the top line. Looking at it on a quarterly basis, we had 422.2 million of revenue, which is 3% down quarter on quarter. Because of the slight underperformance both on B2B top line and B2C, particularly on RGUs, this has forced us to lower our revenue guidance for the full year, which I'll come back to later in the presentation. The adjusted EBITDA came in at 125.1 million, which is 7% down year on year. So again, resilient relative to revenue, which was down 11.6%. Nonetheless, we've more or less now finished the integration of Dialog and Crowley. We finished the IT migration project very successfully during the course of the second quarter, and that will give us a few extra synergies coming through during Q3 and Q4. But basically now all the synergies that we're going to see have already been realized. So with that in mind, while revenue is falling, it's going to be very difficult to maintain the EBITDA. As a result, Adam has acted very quickly and launched the Netia Lite saving program, which he mentioned in the earlier remarks. We'll see the first impacts of that during the second half of this year, and it's that which allows us to keep the EBITDA guidance for the full year at the 505 million. Lottie that we originally announced back at the beginning of the year. And for the full year next year, the saving opportunities that have been identified, we're confident will be 50 million zloty relative to the cost base that we had in Q2 of 2014. So those recurring cost savings will help significantly with the free cash flow coming off of the business next year. Moving on to slide 21, the reconciliation to net profit from the adjusted EBITDA level. Quite a lot going on between adjusted EBITDA and reported EBITDA. Reported EBITDA came in at 246 million for the first half, so roughly 13 million of various one-off items. The CDN integration project is basically finished, as I mentioned. 4.4 million of spending during the first half was mainly related to that IT migration. Restructuring costs are actually ahead of our original expectations. A lot of senior management changes, which is contributing to the amount of spending on restructuring. And obviously there'll be more to come as a part of the Netia Lite process during the second half of the year. The N2 project, I'll remind you, was the deeper split of and creation of two operational divisions between B2B and B2C that was carried out during the first half of this year. That project is basically finished now, so you shouldn't see significant additional spending there. And the impairment charge related to earlier than originally planned elimination of the Dialog brand. We actually did it at the same moment that we did the IT migration, And so that's a one-off that won't repeat in the second half of the year. Depreciation down 5% year-on-year. Bigger decreases to look forward to in the medium term as various intangible assets will be fully depreciated 2016, 2017 in particular. So in the long run, that's going to be very supportive of EBIT. EBIT came in at 34.9 million zloty. Financial expenses down, as you would expect, as the average debt during the first half of the year prior to the late June payment of the dividend was much lower than in the prior year. Tax charge at typical sort of level during H1 came in at 6.2 million. So we reported a net profit of 19.3 million zloty for the first half, just slightly down on the net profit of the prior year. Looking quickly at the CapEx performance on slide 22, Q2 was quite stable relative to Q1. For the half year, we had 111 million zloty of total spend, 3 million higher than in the prior first half. For the full year, we're now looking at something around 215 million of CapEx spending. We've increased the guidance slightly because mainly CPE spending on additional gross additions that we need to put into the results to stabilize revenue going forward needs obviously to be funded. And we've added that into the forecast. Nonetheless, 215 million compares well with last year's 280 million of spending. The spending on integration of Dialog and Crowley will be much, much lower this year. There's less spending on NGA upgrades, as I mentioned earlier, as well. So that part of the spend should also be down significantly. On slide 23, you can see our free cash flow performance. We're now targeting 290 million of free cash flow for 2014. With a 505 million EBITDA, that means 0.72 leverage on the current debt base, I should add. So we would expect that to fall further during the second half of the year as the business is still strongly free cash flow positive. But that's a very comfortable level for the business to be carrying whilst paying significant dividends and retaining the flexibility that we need to potentially do some M&A going forward. Moving on to the final slide from me today, the guidance and distribution policy. First of all, on the guidance, as I mentioned earlier, Q2, we didn't see the change in trend that we're looking for, but we do believe that the new initiatives around the Asda launch, drops, much stronger focus in B2B on protecting ARPU than we've seen tactically in the first half of the year, and a number of other initiatives are likely to flatten out the revenue loss during the second half of the year. We've put forward a revised guidance of 1,675 million zloty. We consider this to be pretty conservative at this point, so we wouldn't see it dropping any lower than this level. This would be consistent with something like a 10% second half revenue loss, and we'd hope to do a little bit better than that in all probability. Adjusted EBITDA, as I mentioned earlier, because of the light savings, we will expect to still come in at 505 million and a 30% EBITDA margin. Slightly higher CapEx means that we take down the adjusted operating free cash flow guidance from 305 to 290 million zloty. In terms of distribution policy, the policy for now is unchanged. There is a strategic review going on. As we've said in the policy, if we do major M&A, that could change our ability to maintain these payments. As of now, no major CapEx expansion on the cards. So with that in mind, we haven't at this point in time made any changes to the policy. However, you know, the final strategy is a discussion between Adam and the management team and the supervisory board, and I'm sure they'll be hoping to announce it in early Q4 to the market. So with those comments, the only thing left for me to say is thank you for the cooperation that we've had over the last 8.5 years. This is my last conference call as CFO of Netia. I think with the major shareholder changes that we had at the end of Q2 and with a new CEO coming in, it's quite healthy to put together a new team to take the company forward with a new strategy. With the migration of the IT system that we finished in Q2, my role of running the integration of Crowley and Dialogue is now basically completed. So I feel it's a very good moment for me to hand over to a new CFO. Mr. Szymanski is very experienced CFO with a good reputation, and I wish him and Adam and the team all the best going forward with running Netia. Adam, over to you for the conclusions.
Yes, thank you much, John. Thank you. I think your role has been very appreciating in our dialogues with the market. Thank you again. Yes, just to a bit go back to the kind of main things that we've seen during the first half of the year. As we mentioned, as you see, we've seen very robust financial performance of the company during the first half a year, again demonstrating a business resilience to the really strong competition and a heavy price discounts that we see on the market. There are a number of initiatives, and we just mentioned to you the most important ones, where we see the growth, the progress in the TV services on the broadband, as well as B2B RG uses. We see the results of our launch of the high-speed internet over former Aster City exceeding our expectations. We remain financially strong with a leverage below 1x of adjusted EBITDA. We've paid, according to the, as John mentioned, our distribution policy, the dividend in the total amount of 146 million zloty. There is a slight revision of the guidance, but it only reflects what we see on the market and where we see the potential for further growth. We are introducing and looking at what we can do with our current customer base on B2C, and our Drops new brand is one of the answers or initiatives we are undertaking to improve the situation in that area. Finally, the Netia Light, which is again not only about the cost reduction, but also is the way of changing, doing the business, and making our approach more lean and mean and flexible. And again, number of changes with a new shareholder, almost only new supervisor board, and as a half of the year, entirely new management board. However, the management team, the broad one, the extended management team, is very much a combination of the people that have been running and contributing to the Netia's success in the past, and some new people that will contribute into new areas where we believe we should be a bit stronger. So with that, I would like to thank you for my first encounter with you and handing over to the questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question is from Ondrej Kabsjek from Wood & Company. Please go ahead, Ondrej.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the presentation. I wish all the best to John. And I have a couple of questions. Firstly, I would like to ask what stood behind the slight decrease in B2B customer locations. Second question is if you could elaborate a bit on the breakdown of your growing TV subscriber base, what part of that was organic, what part of it was driven by M&A, And the third question relates to your litigation, if there are any updates regarding the tax liabilities claim. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for those questions. Yeah, the B2B customer location slight decline. It went down 2,000 locations from, I think, 75 to 73,000, if I remember rightly. You can see it on slide 10. A couple of large customer losses, basically, during the quarter would have been the main cause of that decline. It's disappointing. We don't think it's a long-term trend, and we would be looking, you know, as I said earlier, you know, the critical objective is to be growing sequentially the B2B revenue, and there's no doubt to do that. We need stability on the number that we're serving. I didn't catch totally the second question. Did you catch that, Adam?
The TV, how much was that attributed to? I think there was organic growth, and I think there is only organic growth, and we haven't been doing any acquisitions of the customer base on the TV side during the first half of the year. So it's all of just seeing the growth is purely organic.
Yeah, that's completely correct. On the tax litigation, we're heading in a good direction. I continue to believe during the quarter. Some minor issues that we had with the second instance decision taken in our favor in October last year went back up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't take a formal decision in favor of our complaints, but from what we understood from the verbal judgment, they agreed with the thesis that we were putting forward, so it's a fairly technical issue. The case is now basically back at the level of the tax office, and the tax office now needs to reflect all the points that have been put forward by us and accepted by the higher courts over the last 2 or 3 years. So it's hard to say exactly when this money is going to come back in. With interest right now, the balance that they owe us is up to over 80 million zloty. It could be as quick as this half year. It could be that the tax office fight hard and it might still take another year or two. It's very hard to be sure what the tax office will do next. The good news is that deposit keeps earning us interest at about 10% per annum. So it's a good place to have money, spare money located. So, it'll be a nice thing if Mr. Szymanski manages to bring that money in for you in the next couple of quarters.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
That one of the revealed one of the targets for the new CFO, John. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star one on your telephone keypad. We have a question now coming from Vera Satedja from Erste Bank. Please go ahead, Vera.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to have a question for John, please. I'm quite surprised that you're leaving in such a short period after all what you have done with Netia, coming back from more than 8 years. So I'm trying to understand after what you have done, why now that you leave, and when you meant with a kind of new strategic direction, what does that mean? Are we preparing Netia for a radical change, a much higher leverage, or a big clarification as to what the reason why would you leave Netia? And the second question would be on the Bitstream access, where we heard that the EU already approved the 76 municipalities to be deregulated. I kind of puzzled. Meanwhile, you have drops running on BSA. So what does this deregulation means to your strategy and to your business? And will it affect also the further RGU losses or revenues? And the last question will be on the EBITDA. The target at 505, you mentioned about this still intact because of the light savings, but as far as I understand, the light savings is to be implemented from July, so the missing we will not see much of the impact in the 2014 yet, and meanwhile we have 6 months to catch up on the EBITDA. So how confident are you with this EBITDA target? Thank you.
Vera, thank you for those questions. The first one was why am I leaving at this moment in time? I think, as I said, partly because there's been a wholesale change both at the shareholder and supervisory board level, and obviously a new CEO coming in as well. So it's kind of normal that especially the shareholder would like to see a new team taking the organization forward. I've been here 8.5 years. I think most of my best ideas I've already implemented, and certainly I could carry on. There's certainly enough exciting things to do for another 5 years or so, in my estimation, but it's maybe a good moment for me to do something else. And I think, you know, someone coming in with fresh eyes can look at some of the older problems, some of the things that have been intractable for us over the last couple of years, with a fresh insight, with different experiences. Maybe they will be even more effective than I've been able to be. So I'm very happy that Adam and the supervisory board managed to line up Mr. Szymanski, and that he can take over so quickly. So I'll actually help bed him in over during September and brief him on all the issues. So hopefully the transition will go smoothly. The second question was around the impact of the deregulation of the 76 gmina, which are mostly highly urbanized gmina in the Polish market. We don't agree with the ruling because basically because the LLU nodes that we have, although they're present in all these gmina, they don't cover every household. So we think the decision is a little bit too much of a blunt instrument. But as you mentioned, the EU has basically accepted the decision. However, it's going to take, in our estimation, about 2 years before it's actually effective in the market, and we wouldn't be able to use BSA in these regions. But because we primarily use LLU already in those markets, the impact on us is actually relatively small. It's something around 10 to 15% of the BSA customers are in these areas. BSA is mainly a rural and suburban product. So it's inconvenient. We don't agree with the decision, but it's not a game-changing situation for us. I think the final question was about the impact or the savings and how they kick in during the second half of the year, which is a good question. If you recall, part of the B2B, B2C, or N squared project was also restructuring and reorganization of those two business units. There have been some headcount reductions related to that during Q2 and some other cost savings related to that. You'll see the full impact of those during Q3 and Q4. You'll see the full impact of the IT migration that we finished in Q2 during Q3 and Q4. And a lot of the Netia Light initiatives have already been taken, so you're going to get in Q4 a full impact of most of those. So all in all, we're confident that we can still hit this 505 target, even though the revenue is going to be lighter than we thought.
Okay, thank you. And thanks again, John, for your contribution to the investors, and all the best.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the cooperation.
Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star one now on your keypad. We have a question from the line of Igor Semenov from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, Igor.
Yeah, thank you very much. A couple of questions. First of all, can you quantify the redundancies or, I don't know, restructuring charges related to the management changes in the second half of the year, if possible? And also, in more general terms, how would you describe the current competitive environment on the broadband market? It looks like the overall market sort of picked up a little bit in terms of the growth rates. Maybe related to that, what is your perception for the M&A opportunities on the market in the next 12 to 18 months, maybe? Previously it looked like nothing major would be happening. Do you think that it's more likely that there will be quite a bit of activity sooner rather than later? Thank you very much. This is on the broadband market specifically.
Okay. Yeah, Igor, the light project. I would estimate the additional restructuring costs are going to be in the region of 5-6 million zloty. As we mentioned, a lot of this is fairly senior management, so the amounts are quite significant. In addition, there may be some provisions booked around giving up office space, which may take the number a little bit higher, but that's obviously non-cash related. So those things will come through the books during the second half of the year. On the broadband competitive environment, like ourselves, I think Orange is continuing to lose customers. Cable operators are continuing to grow the base, but I don't see a strong change in trend. I mean, the key thing for Thomas Schocker on the B2C market is very much to drive the TV service and broadband with it to new customers. And to do that, he has a lot of building sales forces and improving sales competencies to do to really start to get the effect. We think we've got the offers and we've got the coverage. It's about the execution in the commercial area, and Tomek's working extremely hard on that. M&A, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, just echoing what John said, I think we are on our B2C, we are very much focusing on delivering what we have on the infrastructure we have, and especially focus on Aster, former Aster network, and building the capabilities which will allow us to have this kind of offers for more markets. Again, I wouldn't like to M&A opportunities to any way to subsidize the our lack of organic growth. So we have a really strong desire to build a robust organic growth into our day-to-day operations. And again, it will be opportunistically M&A activities will be done as we did during the last 12 months or so. If there is an opportunity like the one with the Aster, we obviously will look into it very seriously. But again, the focus of Thomas Schopp and his team is to deliver what we have and appeal the network that we just acquired.
Okay, thank you very much. John, thank you.
We have a question coming through now from the line of Paweł Puchalski from BZW Brokerage. Please go ahead, Paweł.
Hello. a question on CapEx. You need to boost your CapEx by 15 million zlots in second half just to deliver on your previous goals. Shall I assume that to achieve what you had been assuming for coming years, you would need to keep this additional CapEx alive terminally, which means 2030, not 230 million, not 200 as of 2015?
Pavel, yeah, thanks. Thanks for the question. The B2C side definitely, we're planning to sell more now in the second half of the year, especially on the Asta network and on our own network than had previously been the assumption. Churn is maybe a bit higher than we originally assumed, so we need more gross adds to offset that, which is part of the reason why the number's bigger than previously. We also need a little bit more money on the B2B side to speed things up to get this positive sequential revenue growth that I mentioned a couple of times. I didn't quite understand your reference to a 230 figure for next year.
Well, you had 200 million zlots in CapEx for 2014. And if I assume the stable CapEx for coming years, 2000, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, you mean two times the 15 because it's only half a year.
I think it's a little bit too early to come to such a conclusion. I mean, as Adam's identified, one of the key elements that he's building into his strategy is around simplification. Trying to eliminate some legacy products that maybe don't bring the kind of margins that we're looking for. So if we're successful in that, there may well be some CapEx savings coming through that the previous management team, had not identified. So it's a little bit too early to say what the numbers will be for next year.
Talked both about the simplification and the product portfolio, but also network simplification and technologies that we have in the network currently. So it's we probably are not in the position to tell you more because we are just analyzing the opportunities there.
Okay, thank you.
As there are no further questions, I'll turn the call over to Mr. Savitsky for his final comments.
Yeah, thank you very much, gentlemen, for it's been the first one for me, the last one for John. However, John remains here to support us in the interim period and supporting new CFO. As you've seen, we've managed to launch a number of new things and initiate new things, so it'll be definitely an exciting next quarter and looking into the 2015, as well as informing the market about the findings and the results of our strategy review. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention and looking forward to talking to you in 3 months. Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.